Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 55 called Bringing Calm to Your Life. It's actually been a few weeks since I recorded a podcast. The other ones I did, I kind of recorded ahead of time, so it's been a while since I've been behind the mic, so it's fun to be recording again and bring this fun topic to you and my audience. So, as I said on a previous podcast, I was getting ready to head up to Alaska, which my wife and I did. We went up there with her parents and took them on a trip. So we went to Anchorage, and then we went to Whittier, and then we went to Seward and Kenai and Homer. So we traveled to a few cool destinations in Alaska, and we had a wonderful time. We got to go silver salmon fishing on the Kenai River, which was awesome to be able to catch some 8 to 13 pound salmon and be able to bring those home. We did a couple of really cool boat trips out into the fjords to see the glaciers and to see the marine wildlife, which was really fun. We saw a lot of cool whales and porpoises and sea otters and sea lions and seals. So that was really cool. I have found that in my more advanced years, I'm starting to get seasick easier, which never happened to me in the past. But on our second boat that was a little more wobbly and took in more of the waves, I found myself getting seasick. I had to take a couple of pills, and I hadn't really taken those before. So it actually helped a lot to not be seasick. But the only problem is it really made me drowsy for a full 24 hours. But that was better than getting ready to throw up over the front of the boat, which probably wouldn't have been awesome. So we found Alaska to be just a really special place. It's very beautiful there with very huge mountains everywhere, glaciers, and wide open spaces as well. It's really green, and the people are really nice that we ran into that live up there. We found that the restaurants were super expensive there. We got really cheap airfare to get up there. They were only $200 a piece, but the restaurants were very, very expensive. You'd think seafood where it's freshly caught there, right there in Alaska, would be cheap, but halibut was like $30 a pound. So it's not cheap up there at all. I think they have to really make their money during the summer season so that since the winters, they don't have many tourists come, I'm sure, to go hang out in the darkness up there the whole time. But we found it to be one of the most beautiful places we've ever visited. We really liked how calm and peaceful it was there. We immediately noticed that people drove a lot slower there and calmer and more politely than they do, than they do here in Utah. Utah drivers, we are very fast and speedy and impatient, I would say. And in Alaska, the drivers were really patient and easygoing and actually drove the speed limit, which was kind of nice too. It helped to relax a little more. So some of the funnest times, I mean, we paid a lot of money for the boat rides out into the fjords. They were half day trips and they're pretty expensive. They're like $200 a piece, and the fishing was about that same price. So those things were expensive, but I think what I enjoyed most, I was telling my wife just today that next time we go to Alaska, I don't really want to do so much of the paid excursions. I think just being there and exploring and hiking. We took a tram up to the top of Alyeska Ski Resort and hiked up around there and also hiked down the mountain, which was really steep and hard on my feet, but really fun. I think the kind of just the relaxing and the hiking and exploring was more fun than the paid excursion. So sometimes when I get home from a trip, before we go, we feel like we got to set up all these excursions to do, which most of them are pretty darn cool, and I'm glad I did them. But when I go back to the destination a second time, I think I'm going to do less of that and more of just free stuff and enjoying the area. So right before I went to Alaska, Rachel and I went and had breakfast with one of my friends. She's been a friend since I started my profession. We're in the same industry. And she is doing really, really well financially. She was able to build a home with her husband. Her husband's a builder. And he built a beautiful home up on a mountainside that overlooked the town where they live. And they were able to sell it kind of right now, which could be at the top peak of the housing market for a while. Who knows? But they sold it for a great price, and she was just kind of waiting for that money to hit her account the day we were talking to her. She's also done an awesome job of saving into her 401ks and IRAs over the years, and she's built up a nice sum of money. So I just want to give her a shout out without calling her by name, but because I want to protect her confidentiality, but just super proud of her for the awesome job she does with her money and that she doesn't spend it all. She's been an aggressive saver, and she is financially independent. She could retire if she wanted to, but I don't think she's going to for a little while, but just proud of her for the awesome job she's done with her finances. Now, I got a couple questions from some listeners, and one of them asked me about, he asked if he has a 401k, a Roth 401k, and if he could still contribute to his Roth IRA. And I explained to him that yes, he can. You can put, if you're under 50, you can put $19,500 into a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k. And you can also fund your Roth IRA, assuming as a couple you make under $206,000 or something like that. I don't know the exact number, but it's somewhere in that ballpark, adjusted gross income. So yes, the good news is you can contribute to both of those. And it's an awesome way to put money away for the future and retirement. So the topic today I wanted to talk about, bringing calm to your life. I think this is an important topic that probably we all struggle with. One of the reasons I really love simplicity and minimalism, as well as taking care of financial stuff, is because I think it does help to bring calm to your life. Right now, before I started recording this podcast, I went and helped with a move, which seems to be common around here. But anyway, I helped unload a moving van and helped put it. There's Milo again shaking in the background. Sorry about that. He just loves to come up here when I'm recording. But anyway, the moving van had a lot of stuff. They had a storage unit. And I just think about how I think about 10% of Americans have storage units, and how we have just stuff stored all over America that often never even gets looked at or unboxed. Or I think storage units have their place. Like for this family, it was important because they're temporarily going to live with a family and then get a place of their own soon when they can find one. So they're needed at times, but I just think we as Americans just keep so much stuff. And I think that's a good way to not bring calm to your life, but to bring kind of stress to your life, is just to hold on to too many belongings. I think that can be smothering. And one of the reasons why I enjoy minimalism so much. And so one way to bring calm to your life is to kind of make sure the environment you live in is not cluttered and chaotic and dirty. I think that is a really easy way to bring stress to your life. I have had some professional stress lately as I've been changing roles at my job and been trying to kind of work through that and kind of trying to work on how I can bring calm to my life while I'm going through some difficult things with my job. And so, because I think there's in life, there's going to be periods where we experience a lot of stress. Maybe we are new parents with a newborn child or young children. That tends to bring a lot of stress to life. We're starting a new job or moving or going through some interpersonal conflicts with some friends or neighbors. There's so many ways that stress can find us. And so I think it's really important that no matter who we are, that we figure out, no matter what lifestyle we live, figure out some tools that work for us to help bring calm to our life. One thing that I have found really helpful for me is breathing. It seems very simple, but, and I will say that breathing does take practice to get good at it. Sometimes people will try it, say it doesn't work, but you have to really stick with it. And it's just like any skill, you have to get good at it. And the way I like to do it is to breathe in through the nose for 4 or 5 seconds, and then out through the mouth for 6 or 7 seconds or somewhere in that range. To do slow breathing, as you breathe, your stomach should go up, meaning filling up your lungs, and breathe out. I like to kind of imagine breathing in nice, clean, cool blue air and breathing out kind of the toxins in the brown air. It's just kind of a visualization that helps me to relax and to center myself and calm myself. Breathing is a wonderful tool because we can do it anywhere, any place. I sometimes like to do it while I'm lying down before I go to bed at night. You can do it at work. You can do it in the car. You can do it before a speech. You can do it at any time. Another idea I was thinking about, this one works really well for my wife, and she is a yoga instructor and likes to do yoga in her home. I've done it with her a few times, and my boys have as well. And I've struggled to have the patience for yoga, but I think the times I've done it, and I've really gained some benefits from the few times I've done it. I'd like to do it more. And she gains a lot of benefit and help from it, from a strengthening her core and her body perspective, and also for the mind and the stress perspective. I hope I don't beat a dead horse too much, but the next one I was thinking about that brings calm to my life is walking. I walk every morning. It's a wonderful way to start the day, and it's a wonderful time to breathe, exercise, move. I just have found it to be central to my happiness, and would encourage any of you who feel stressed or feel like you're overweight or feel like life could be better to simply try to find some time to walk every day. And I like to listen to podcasts while I walk, which helps me to enjoy it a lot. And it really, the time does go by really quickly. I have different routes that I take so that there's variety to it. And I live in a place where I'm fortunate to be able to have that opportunity to go different places. So that's something I would encourage you to try. Another thing to be able to kind of keep peace in your life is to keep your finances in order. Make sure you spend less than you make. Have a plan of where you want your money to go. Try to minimize your debt. There's nothing that can stress a family or a person out more than heavy debt that feels like it's suffocating you and you're never going to pay it off. It can just sit there on your unconscious and in the back of your mind, and it can be really, really frustrating and stressful. And always, at any part of your life, I recommend you try to save a portion of your income. And I also think it's a great idea to give to charity or tithe or however you believe is fit. Give a little bit of your money away to those who are in need. I think wonderful things come to people who set that as a habit and a precedent in their life. I know that I certainly have been blessed by that in many ways. Another way to bring calm to your life is to treat other people with respect and kindness. I have found that I feel a lot better when my relationships with others are peaceful, where I'm not having contention or anger or irritability with them. Something I've kind of struggled with lately is I've felt like in a couple situations, a person has not been very respectful to me, and it has added stress to my life. I've kind of realized that I really benefit and enjoy having mutually respectful relationships. And when that's not being reciprocated, it can be hard and can be stressful. So just being kind to others, I think, can bring a calm to your life. There's so many people who self-inflicted wounds because of being rude to other people. I witnessed a scene in a parking lot the other day where, actually, we were in Alaska when this happened, and a person was walking in the parking lot, and she felt like the driver should have stopped and let her walk, and he didn't, so she kind of slammed the back of his car with her hand and yelled and did some hand obscenities towards him, and he yelled back at her, and I just thought kind of what a pointless interaction that was that could have been avoided simply by just kind of letting the air go and walk past it instead of getting all heated, because at the end of this interaction, I'm sure they both walked away feeling really angry and frustrated at the other person. A lot of times in life, there's a situation like that where someone does a perceived wrong action towards us. And instead of retaliating, I think that's a great time to just breathe and try to walk away and not retaliate. I think that can help bring calm to our life. Something also that I think really helps to bring calm to my life, and I think it does to a lot of people, is something really simple, which is just stretching. I'm not a flexible person at all, and I've tried to incorporate stretching a couple times a week. Every time when I finish, I feel better. And so I think that's something that anybody can do. Just start where you're at, even if you're very inflexible, and just try to be consistent with it. And I guarantee you that if you do, more flexibility will come as you do more stretching. The next one I'm thinking about is to make sure that we exercise. I think exercise is the best anti-anxiety and antidepressant on the market, and it's free. And it's also very much tied to people's longevity and happiness and feeling of contentment in life. So I think two things that can pretty much instill or help us feel happier than we are is to exercise a little bit more and to make sure we have relationships with other people that are meaningful. That it doesn't need to be a lot of people, but just at least a couple of relationships and social interaction. A lot of studies come back to show how important that is for people and also for people in retirement. A lot of people that retire end up getting depressed. The suicide rates are high. And I think it's often because they're cut off from their social network at work and they stop moving and exercising. I think the people who are retired who are the happiest are the people who have a purpose, who have something to get up to every day. I witness a retirement group playing pickleball every morning when I walk by. And I think what a cool thing for them to get up, interact, socialize, play pickleball in the morning, and get their day started on the right foot. I think another thing that helps bring peace to our life is to make sure we're not getting carried away with social media. I think some social media, I believe, is good. I enjoy it and enjoy connecting with people through social media. But I think if we find ourselves feeling more depressed or down when we look at social media, maybe that's a clue that we struggle with comparing ourselves to others, and maybe social media is not for us, and maybe it's something that we should limit or even possibly eliminate from our lives. I know some people in the minimalist community have eliminated a lot of social media from their life, and they feel a lot better because of it. I haven't chosen to do that at this point because I don't feel down in the dumps after I look at my social media, but I think I've heard a lot of people that do, just because they feel envious of what other people are posting and feel less than because they can't do the things or aren't as good looking as the people that are posting. So find out, check in with yourself when you're doing social media to make sure that it is a positive thing in your life. And if it isn't, to have the courage to let it go or to greatly reduce it. Maybe move it to a back screen on your phone, maybe delete it off your phone so you have to log in on a computer. There are other tactics you can use. If you find that social media takes you to places you don't want to be on your phone, obviously that's an important thing to probably take off of your phone if that's the case and you find it dragging you down. I think another thing that can help bring peace to your life is make sure you're in a job and a career that fits your values and aligns with your natural strengths. If you do a job that you're not good at or that is tedious and boring or where you're not treated with respect, that can really suck away the happiness and the calm from our life. So trying hard to find a job that fits us, I think, is a great way to help bring calm. Another thing I found that helps with this is prayer and meditation and mindfulness, learning how to be in the moment. And if you're a spiritual person or a religious person, to engage in meaningful prayer, I find that to be super helpful for me. And it's one of the single most important aspects of my life that helps bring calm to my life. Another thing I like that helps me is to appreciate, this is what one of the reasons why I loved Alaska so much, is to appreciate the natural beauty around me and just notice it, to listen to the sounds of the river or the birds, to look at the colors in the mountains. One thing that was so cool about Alaska, we'd look at a mountain and there were just so many varying shades of green on those mountains that it was just beautiful and spectacular. And to see those contrasted with the glaciers and just to see God's handiwork and to see the beauty of all around us. And living in Utah, it's the same way. It's not as spectacular as Alaska, but it's a beautiful place. And I just love to enjoy the sunsets, enjoy the birds. This time of year, the crickets are chirping in the evening. I like to listen to that and just enjoy those natural, free things around us. I think being a rigid person can bring the opposite of calm to your life. So learning to be flexible is important. Rigid, angry people typically have high cortisol levels, which is a stress hormone, and that impacts disease, it impacts longevity, it impacts our health day to day. And so keeping our cortisol levels lower and learning to be less angry and more flexible is super important, especially if you're raising young kids. That can be a time when cortisol levels are high because raising small children can be really stressful. And so learning to just let things go, not overreact, learn to step away and walk away if you need to, go breathe, get some fresh air, and just bite your tongue in the moment and not say things while you're feeling angry. And letting your brain kind of calm down, that front part of your brain to calm down so that it can lead out before the more internal part of our brain, which is the emotional part. I would also suggest that we emphasize relationships over everything else. Connection and purpose in life are some of the greatest indicators of happiness out there. So valuing relationships over stuff or over money is super important. I think it's really important. I know in today's world, this isn't important to a lot of people, but developing spirituality is one of the things that has brought me the most calm in my life. And so I would recommend that if you feel like you're missing a calmness in your life or a happiness in your life, to consider developing your spirituality a little bit more. As we get down to the end of this podcast, just a couple more ideas. One is, now some of you younger listeners might not know what this means, but it's to develop a Teflon mindset. Teflon is something that they used to put and still put in pans so that things don't stick to it. They just roll right off of it. So instead of having like a Velcro personality where things stick to you, you get offended easily or take offense easily, it's more of just letting things roll off your back and not letting things just bother you and eat at you and just letting go. And lastly, I would encourage to bring calm to your life, to try not to worry so much about things that won't matter a week from now. Most of our anxiety and feelings of frustration come from things that will not matter 1 week from now. And so just ask yourself, if you're feeling really frustrated or agitated, will this matter a week from now? Most of the time, the answer is no. If the answer is no, just try to let it go. Try to distract yourself with something else and move on from it. That will be it for today's episode. I just want to remind you and thank you who have left reviews. It really, really means a lot to me, and it's super helpful. We still haven't quite hit 50 yet. I'm still waiting to give away that Amazon gift card once we hit the 50 mark. So any of you who have not left a review on Apple, that would be super appreciated. It would also be really appreciated if you would subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you listen to the show on, and be willing to download each episode and listen to it. And you can also follow the show on Instagram, simplemoney_simplelife. You can also email me at simplemoney529@gmail.com. You can leave questions at either one of those locations, and I'll be happy to answer them directly to you or answer them on a show. And remember, the simple life is a good life.